At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best in your sports talk for Wednesday, July the 10th. I'm your host, DA. Last night, the All-Star Game for Major League Baseball. It's another American League win. What a run of dominance the AL has been on in the Midsummer's Classic. It's a 4-3 victory. Good action, crisply played baseball game. But perhaps the big takeaway last night was the technology. The Fox broadcast having multiple players mic'd up. In fact, a number of Astros players mic'd up at the same time. And Braves All-Star Freddie Freeman mic'd up as he was at the plate taking pitches from Justin Verlander. So how interesting, how unique, how historic is that? Here's Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
It was great last night to watch Fox and watch these players either in the outfield or, as was the case with Freddie Freeman, up to bat against Justin Verlander.
Oh, that was unfair, Freddie.
Wow.
Strike, guys?
It was a strike.
All right.
And I'm a pitcher, so I'm being fair.
Back here, then.
Throw a strike.
You told me to swing the bat.
He's actually talking to Verlander.
That's amazing.
You throw me a strike, you told me to swing the bat. So that's what I'm doing. Here's the thing. There's 162 games in the regular season in the Major League Baseball season. Of those 162 games, you narrow it down to 10%, that's about 16 games. You narrow that down to half of that, that's about 8 games. Narrow it down to half of that, that's 4 games. I'm literally saying that what Major League Baseball needs to do is to go to each individual team and tell them, listen, there's a lot of games this season. So we want you to pick a handful of games that you feel comfortable with and allow your players, whether you want them at bat or in the field, to be mic'd up.
Yeah.
And to interact with your local broadcasters because it will add a different element to the game. Because that last night was simply amazing.
Do you really think, I get how hitting, it might be distracting to the hitter to have an earpiece in. I get that.
Oh, yeah. And even Freddie Freeman said that as he was walking up to the plate. Like, I've never had this thing in my ear before while batting.
That I get that. But as a fielder, like Francisco Lindor was still going about his business. He was still talking to the other fielders. He was still engaging with, obviously the umpire, his pitcher. He was still there. You could do this for guys in the field. And correct me if I'm wrong, this is 2019, right? So technology is such that you probably...
Hang on, check it. Yes, okay. It's 2019. Go ahead.
Technology is such where you probably don't have to have a 4-pound battery pack on your butt, okay? You could probably have a wireless thing where all you got to do is put an earpiece in and a microphone, and that's it. There's probably cordless that you can do. It's probably really, really simple, and I would absolutely love every national broadcast, every single national baseball broadcast. So the Saturday on Fox, the Sunday on ESPN, like the Wednesday on ESPN, Friday on MLB Network. That's it. Those are the games where you mic somebody up. Pick somebody from the home team because it's easier to be at home than on the road. Somebody from the home team, mic them up and go with it.
That was great last night. So much fun to watch and hear.
Freeman just talking about Verlander. I mean, because you can't imagine. I mean, can you imagine what it feels like to stand in the batter's box and see a guy like Verlander like throwing the baseball?
Oh, I know.
And to have any type of a feel of what that's like, and maybe add in a few more of like the helmet cameras and things like that that you see in the College World Series. Yeah. I kind of like that look from time to time.
I want
to
see
the umpire's mask, you know, and just take the fan into the game.
Yep.
As often as you can and in every way you possibly can.
Amen.
I mean, and just maybe social media is the way to do it. Maybe you have some type of a feed on some type of a baseball platform
do it on,
or whatever.
Do it on social media or something like that. So if there's a curse word or something like that, it doesn't have to get, you know, bleeped out, even though it's easy to do. But, you know, I would love to see the batter mic'd up for the main purpose. I just want to see the catcher-batter exchange, if there is one. Is it really like Jake Taylor in Major League? Okay?
Good
is
one.
Is that what it's like?
No, is it like Porter in Sandlot?
Yeah. Mm. That's what I want to see.
That's one.
You know, these are the types of things the baseball definitely needs to hone in on. The types of things they need to look for opportunities to execute. Because when you look at the starting lineups of last night's game, and you compare those to the starting lineups of, say, 20 years ago, it's a no contest in terms of the recognition the population at large has of the players. You look at last night, and there's a lot of young guys that a lot of people probably have not heard of yet. And then 20 years ago, it was a league dotted with the Sosa and McGuire and Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr., Curt Schilling, Pedro Martinez, guys that had become household names. Now, granted, they had a number of years to build up that celebrity, and right now we're at the forefront of players' careers. But the point is you're looking for more opportunities for the population to understand these players, to know these players, to relate to these players. And having the guys mic'd up on the field last night definitely seemed like a step in the right direction in that regard. A storyline that was floating around All-Star Week was, are the balls juiced this year in Major League Baseball? Yet again, baseball is on pace for the most home runs ever in a season. In fact, MLB is on pace this year to hit over 6,600 home runs. The previous record of 2017, all-time, is 6,100 home runs. So that's an enormous increase. What is happening? Well, Justin Verlander spoke out and said he believes the ball is juiced. He believes the Major League Baseball, which owns Rawlings, is making a baseball that travels farther. Here's the guys on Sports Radio 610 In the Loop in Houston. Did Verlander just own Manfred?
I think he just owned Rob Manfred. I mean, if you didn't see the story, you know, this is what he was asked about: the juiced baseballs, the increased home runs in baseball. And what he said, it was like he just shed an incredible light on a topic that a lot of people were not talking about. I mean, seriously, he says it's a bleeping joke. Major League Baseball's turning the game into a joke. This is all Justin Verlander I'm saying here. They own Rawlings, and you've got Manfred up here saying it might be the way they center the pill. That's, the, I guess, the core of the baseball. They own the bleeping company. If any other $40 billion company bought out a $400 million company and the product changed dramatically, it's not a guess as to what happened. We all know what happened. Manfred, the first time he came in, what did he say? He said, we want more offense. All of a sudden, he comes in, the balls are juiced. It's not coincidence. We're not idiots. There's, like, again, and I'm going to be completely honest. I had no idea that Major League Baseball bought Rawlings. And he's 100% right. 100% right. You don't change the ball. in a sport without the sport knowing. You don't do it. I mean, it's like you mentioned, you know, the NBA did that not long ago. And
but it was a big freaking deal.
It was a huge deal, and they announced it before, and they talked about it, and they did tests and all this other thing.
It was in 2006. They changed the whole damn basketball, and it did not last very long, but it was a known thing that they changed the basketball.
And it was announced in advance.
I don't see how this is the thing. Like, I don't see how, if the baseball is different, if the baseball is juiced, and there's been a lot of studies to show that it is.
No, well, first of all, real quick, they've measured the baseball. They've taken them apart. The pill is smaller, the core, and the seams are lower. So it's like...
How can you do that?
I don't know.
That's why I don't understand. Like, how can you do that?
I mean, it's like they changed the
how
ball.
Is that, how is that different if then... And this might be a dumb question, but we're open to dumb questions here on In the Loop, especially for me.
Mm-hmm.
How is this different than a baseball player corking his bat? Like, honestly, like, I know, I get
well,
that.
Well, because it's institutional.
Okay, it's institutional, but yeah. Still, you're basically doing the same thing.
I'm agreeing with you. It's a joke.
It's sneaky.
And it's a sneak. But can you imagine, like, this? They're sitting there in Rawlings, and they're like, okay, we got to change the ball, all right? Let's make the seam smaller. Let's change the pill a little bit. And there's, like, some dude in the back raising his hand saying, you think we should, like, you know, make a call or something? Do you think we should, like, send a memo or an email? No, we're good. They changed the ball. It's scientifically proven. The analytics has showed that they've changed it. So Justin Verlander owned Rob Manfred, and Rob Manfred today is having his availability with the media.
This guy ain't very sharp, by the way.
It doesn't seem like
he's not, man. Like, you remember the Lebatard thing when they took him to task? This Manfred guy, man, this of all the commissioners, Goodell can do a good job of going up there and BSing. Like, mm-hmm. he's your typical corporate guy. And I think his job's hard because he is the king of the most powerful league. And so I have a level of respect for Roger Goodell despite his flaws. This Rob Manfred guy, I don't want to say he's in over his head, but he's not very good at going up there and taking the AK-47 of media-type bullets that comes with that position.
And what he's doing right now, you know, wrapping up his press conference with a lot of the baseball writers, is basically, I mean, we live in an era of when in doubt, lie, and he's just basically lying. I mean, just standing up there, just looking people in the face, just flat-out lying. Quote, baseball has done nothing, given no direction for an alteration of the baseball. Once again, they changed
the ball. So Rawlings just sat there and decided to do it on their own?
They changed the ball.
Baseball has become a game, as we all know, it's been written and spoken a million times, of three true outcomes. Walk, strikeout, home run. And nobody pays to watch strikeouts, and nobody pays to watch walks. So the home run, because there's so much power pitching, I think, and because there's such specialization in relievers, the home run has become so valuable, maybe even more so than the steroid era, because this is where offense is emanating from so much of the time. So baseball definitely wants to see more home runs because that's the easiest way to have more action in their game. And winding the baseball tighter or having less drag, a smoother baseball, absolutely, 100% is something that baseball knows is good for business. And so they, you wouldn't put it past them, would want that. And maybe it changes in the offseason if the home runs really are out of control. But I think Justin Verlander just exposed and verbalized what a lot of people kind of assumed already. Rob Manfred inherited Major League Baseball from Bud Selig, who was on the job for a number of decades. And Bud Selig's baseball fandom goes back a long time. Selig was a huge baseball fan much before he ever owned the Milwaukee Brewers or oversaw Major League Baseball. So let's hear Bud Selig go down memory lane on Hank Aaron, Major League Baseball history, the best hitters ever, and his organization, the Brewers, as he joined Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York.
You've seen everybody.
You saw
DiMaggio. You loved him. Who's the best
DiMaggio
player?
DiMaggio was my hero as a kid.
I know that.
Up.
You said that in the book. But who's the best player ever? What player made you say, wow, wow?
Henry Aaron. Didn't get the publicity.
Didn't, because he played in Milwaukee.
It's exam Milwaukee.
And he wasn't flashy like Mays. And
exactly.
He wasn't Mickey.
And don't misunderstand.
And he wasn't Mickey.
Mays was phenomenal.
Was he jealous of Manlin Mays?
No.
No, huh?
No. He doesn't have a jealous bone anymore.
So now, even though he was as good as those guys and didn't get the attention till they were gone.
Right.
Didn't bother
and,
him.
And as his years have gone on, now he's gotten a lot of attention.
Absolutely.
But no, it didn't. But look, Mays was phenomenal.
They both always said how good Aaron was, too.
No question about it.
They always did.
Williams was probably the greatest hitter I ever saw.
He was.
I think.
All right. The game on the line, okay? You need a base hit. You don't need a home run. You want Yount in the box or Molitor in the box? You're going to pick Molitor, I think. One hit.
No, that's one nobody's ever asked me. That's a very good question. I'll win with either one of them.
Come on, which one? One, your life on the line, which one? Williams said Molitor was the best swing he saw in his whole life.
He told me that over and over.
Molitor was a great hitter. Yount was a great player. Molitor was a great hitter.
No question about it. Yeah, Yount was a great player all the way around. I don't know. I mean, I got to think about that one.
Those are your two favorite players of the modern guys in your Brewers? Those are your two guys?
Yes.
You had them both so long, that's why.
I did, no question about it. They were great players, too.
Which one were you more surprised about their career, Yount or Molitor? When they were young, which one did you think was going to be a better player?
We got Molitor. He was a University of Minnesota kid. He came quicker. George Bamberger was our manager, who was one of my all-time
And he wanted to lead him off, right? He said, lead him off.
He called him the igniter.
Yep.
And he says, that kid is so good. He told me in spring training, 1978, kid hadn't played in the big leagues yet. He said, you know what? That kid's going to Hall of Fame if he stays healthy. Turned out to be right. But
how
so
about
did
that?
Young.
And Bamberger, funny, because, you know, pitching coaches don't make great managers. And your guy was a good manager.
And he got sick, unfortunately, 3 years ago. We had won 93 and 95 games. He was a great man.
And they played for Harvey Keene for you guys, too.
God,
they loved Harvey Keene.
Harvey was the same thing.
They loved him, too.
Harvey was a Milwaukee kid who played. My dad had a Ford dealership, American Legion ball, and Harvey played on that team.
One game to win. What pitcher in your life? Is it Sandy? Would it be Sandy Koufax or somebody else? I think so, too.
I love Spahn, and I love
that. That's how you saw Spahn all the time. But you know
Spahn
what? Sandy was different.
Oh, he was.
I got to see him pitch in person when I was a kid. He was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
No one's ever been as good as he.
No, that's exactly.
I totally agree.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. No, there's no question. If I got to win a game tomorrow, you give me Koufax.
And what's the one thing you want people to remember about Bud Selig?
I love the game. It was a period of change, and the game was better, but always with the understanding, and that's why the title meant so much to me. Might be painful, and I took a lot of abuse and certainly, but always do what's in the best interest of the game. And if it's painful for you, so be it.
For the good of the game, Bud Selig with Phil Rogers, Harper Collins, a book, William Morrow. It's out now. It's going to do very well. Bud, it'll make a couple of stops. Thank you for coming in and giving me an hour. I appreciate it, Bud.
Pleasure to see you.
Good to see you. Bud Selig.
It was always curious to me that we had the greatest living ball player in Joe DiMaggio and the greatest living hitter in Ted Williams, and then both those guys passed away, and we never passed on that mantle. Hank Aaron or Willie Mays, take your pick. I'm okay with either one. Should be consistently referred to as the greatest living ball player. Both those guys hit for power. They hit for average. Willie Mays obviously was an incredible fielder as well, perhaps the greatest ever defensively. And those are two of the greatest players of all time. They are still with us. They should be honored as such. Those two are the greatest living ball players, and we should refer to them as such. Pretty cool to hear Bud Selig go down memory lane on all of them. Over to football. We're a couple of weeks away from training camps opening up by the end of the month. We'll have teams getting ready for the Hall of Fame game. And can the San Francisco 49ers rebound after an injury-plagued season last year where their starting quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, went down with a season-ending injury? They have brought in Richard Sherman a year ago after the Seattle Seahawks had cut bait with him. And now he's looking at a young defensive player on his side of the football, Nick Bosa, a first-round draft pick of the Niners. Richard Sherman on Seeing the Future with Damon Bruce on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco.
I know he hasn't signed yet. Have you talked to Nick Bosa?
I haven't talked to him since we left for OT minicamp and OTAs and everything. But last I talked to him, he was feeling good. I don't think it's going to be an issue in terms of, you know, him showing up to training camp. You know, but I could be wrong. He seems like a guy who's bought in, a guy who looks forward to being a part of this team and to helping us in the way they brought him in here to help. You know, obviously, you know, the paperwork has to get done, but you know, I'm sure he leaves that to his people in 49ers.
Speaking,
you're talking about rehab and guys being a part of this team. There's obviously a few big names we're looking at. How do Jimmy Garoppolo, Jerick McKinnon, and I'm going to throw Kwon Alexander in there too because he's coming back from an injury as well. How are they looking?
Well, Jimmy was looking good in the OTA sessions and in mini camp. Jared didn't really get a chance to do many team drills, even 7-on-7, so it's hard to say.
Okay.
But they were looking good on the side. You know, he looks powerful in the weight room. He was looking fast in his drill work and his rehab work. Kwon, the same thing. Him and Fred were working on the side. So we didn't get a chance to see him in team drills, but I know the kind of player he was and the kind of player he is, and he looked like he was moving like himself. And when you talk to him, you know, every time you ask him how he's doing, he says legendary. So, you know, I look forward to getting him out there and having a blast.
There you go. I'm going to start answering that question. How are you? I'm legendary. Thank you.
Does he do the like, how I met your mother? Does he pause in the middle of the legendary? Like, how does that work?
Right. He just goes right through, man. He's pretty confident.
Richard, he lacks confidence.
Yeah. Richard, I know that you're calling in on behalf of your pal to win the celebrity contest. I'd say he's got a very good chance of that happening today. Hey, if you could give us a call every week, that would be fantastic. We love talking to you. There's no reason why we shouldn't do this every single Tuesday around 4 o'clock. But we're,
right.
Yeah, seriously, thanks for calling in. This was great. How worried are you about this Hail Mary rule? And will the NFL ever get out of its own way on this issue?
You know, I'm not – as a DB, you can't worry about anything. You know, it's always another rule the next year to try to make our jobs harder and to make it more difficult for us to cover. And, you know, at one point they're going to just tell us, let them catch the ball and we'll flag you if you don't. You know, as a DB, you just got to go out there and do the best you can and play within the rules as best you know how and let the chips fall where they may. Because if you go out there too concerned about the rules and too concerned about how they're going to officiate it, then you're going to get the worst possible result either way.
Bosa can be a shop wrecker. He can be a quarterback collapser and really make opposing offenses' lives a living hell. But he's got to be on the field. And his father was a guy that could not stay on the field and had his career cut short despite big expectations when he was drafted. And his brother, Joey Bosa, is a guy that when he's on the field is amazing, but has also dealt with some injury history. And now you have Nick Bosa, who was shut down midway through the season at Ohio State for injuries as well. If Bosa is on the field, this Niners team should have a huge bounce-back season. And maybe even without him. But Bosa's going to be a big part of that defense, and he's got to stay healthy if the 49ers want to get to where they want to get to, which is the playoffs and beyond. Back over to baseball for a moment as the Philadelphia Phillies will embark on the second half of the season in one of the two National League wildcard slots. Now remember, before the season began, we had thought that perhaps the National League East would house multiple postseason teams. And right now, if the season ended today, that's exactly what would happen. That we would have the Atlanta Braves as the division winners, and then the two wild cards coming out of the East in the Nationals and the Phillies. But can those two teams hold on? And because the Phillies have dealt with a lot of controversy and injuries, what's holding them together? Here's manager Gabe Kapler on WIP in Philadelphia with Angelo Cataldi in the morning show.
So far, first half, Gabe, biggest strength of the team, and how will you maintain that in the second half?
Yeah, I don't think it's the hitting or the bullpen or the pitch. I don't think it's any one category like that. I think our biggest strength has been our toughness. And I think it's the real reason that if the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs. We lost huge pieces of our bullpen. We lost our leadoff hitter and emotional spark plug. We had key pieces of our team, as you know, get off to rough starts, and our guys just continued to battle daily. And the group stayed loose and continues to stay loose. We know that we're going to have a lot more challenges like the one we faced in the first half, and our toughness will define us during those challenges. And so far, that has been the strength of our team.
All right, Gabe, biggest concern?
Yeah. Openly, my biggest concerns are always related to health. As an industry, we're still learning how to keep guys healthy, how to get guys healthy faster. And it's a puzzle. There's so much we don't know. But what we do know is that if our guys feel good and strong, they're more likely to play good and strong. So, like I said, fascinated by this puzzle. Wish I had all the answers here. Just don't.
The ownership of this team made such a financial commitment to this season, Gabe. Do you ever take a moment to worry about what the repercussions might be if you don't make the playoffs?
I don't worry at all about that, Angelo. I want to manage the Phillies because I love this team and I love our fans. But I really do know how this works. I'm responsible and accountable for wins and losses. It's that simple. But I never played this game, and I know you ask me from time to time about my experience as a player. I never played this game worried about repercussions, and I won't manage this team with worry either.
Right. So you don't feel any extra pressure as you start the second half?
That's a different and a fair question. I do feel pressure, and I really like it. Going back to the player analogy, I got to Boston in the middle of the summer back in 2003. And the team was making a really strong push to get to the postseason that year. And the Marlins came to Fenway Park, and Brad Penny was on the mound for the Marlins for my first game as a Red Sox player. And I was coming from Colorado, and I hadn't experienced that level of intensity as a home player. So the expectations were high in Boston that year. We were counted on to perform, and I had one of my best days as I got to Boston. And it was because of the pressure of my first time wearing that uniform. So I guess all of this is to say that pressure can bring out the best in us, and I'm glad we have it here in Philadelphia.
Gabe, you hit the monster off Brad Penny on your first game, didn't you?
No, Angelo, I cleared the monster.
No way! Yeah!
Stop it. You know the story. You're just trying to draw it out again. We've talked about it.
He cleared the monster out. Good job. Gabe, good luck the second half. I appreciate you coming on today, Gabe. Thanks.
Kapler has dealt with his fair share of criticism this season. I mean, just earlier in the year, the same guy that was just interviewing him there, Angelo Cataldi, said Kapler should be fired. He was unfit to be the manager of the Phillies. Comes with the territory in Philadelphia.
Gabe Kapler should not be managing the Philadelphia Phillies. He should have been fired. And the fact that he wasn't, and the fact that Gene Segura played last night, is a disgrace to the Phillies organization and to the city of Philadelphia.
But so far, the Phillies, after their big splash in free agency in the offseason, bringing in Bryce Harper, are still tenuously holding on to a wild card slot. And right now, a postseason berth would be welcomed after a number of down years in the city of brotherly love. Finally, back to football. Another day, another series of, is Gronk coming back? Gronk working out with Tom Brady, catching passes with him in the offseason, which inevitably leads to people saying, Gronk's going to return in September, won't he? He'll just miss training camp and the preseason. Well, here's Ordway, Merlone, and Foria, specifically Christian Foria, who play tight end for that Patriots organization on WEEI in Boston. And Foria, he ain't convinced.
He's going to be a sin version.
2 months ago.
He's going to be a slot receiver when he comes back.
Yeah,
that's
honestly,
all.
He's going to be Travis Kelce, a skinnier version of Travis. You know, it's Jimmy Graham. He's going to be Jimmy Graham.
He could do that.
Tom needs someone to throw to, so you know Jimmy Graham. He calls Mr. Soft, Reliable, he's Robbie soft, G, the one and only.
Jimmy Graham, if you told Gronk, listen, we're never going to attach you to the tackle. You're never going to have to set the edge. We're just going to, you're going to be a slot hybrid Y/H. You're going to be a hybrid tight end. You're going to run corner routes.
Okay.
And here's the thing. We're not going to run you in shallow crosses or sit routes over the middle where you're going to get jammed by strong safeties and linebackers after you catch the ball. You know what we're going to do? Deep outs, high corners where you're going to catch the ball and you'll run out of bounds. You'll never get hit.
You don't even have to shower after the games. You won't, nobody's going to touch you. Nah.
The thing is, he's skinny as hell. He's not coming back.
He says it's 20 pounds. It looks more like 30 plus to me.
I
know
why. I
can
saw
tell you.
Him.
Maybe 35.
There's a picture of him. He was at Lake Winnipesaukee over the 4th of July weekend, him and his girlfriend. And I saw the picture. I'm like, he looks like he's a freshman in college. He's just not coming back. No one should actually get their hopes up. No one should get excited about it. He's done ski. Can I say that officially?
Go ahead. Say it.
Tweet it out.
But
Christian Foria says that, and I said it a year ago, he's done
ski.
Can I tell you something?
It is, Levin.
It is the topic that will not go away. I will guarantee you right now, Patriots get off to a slow start, which they always do, and they're 2-2 after the first four games. You know what people are going to be saying? They need Gronk.
Yeah.
They need Gronk. They have to get Gronk
back. But you know
back.
They're going to get back right after they're 2-2? Ben Watson.
That's right.
Because he's going to serve a four-game suspension. Right. Ben will come back, and I guess Ben could save the day as long as he's not catching
touchdown
passes.
Yeah, I think you're giving him a little too much credit about saving the day. He certainly will be better than what they have
at
that
spot. That is going to be an interesting
experiment. Yeah, but that may be a stretch.
So trying to figure out how productive he's going to be, I mean, how is he going to fit in? I mean, the offense is pretty easy. He's still one of the strongest guys in the NFL, even at his age. I'm just curious how that position is going to look. What's it going to look like? I mean, is Ben your go-to guy?
Well, what happens when Gronk comes back after week 8?
Ben is not coming back. He's Dunsky. Dunsky, Dunsky, Dunsky. Everybody loves that word.
Get used to it.
Yeah,
all
for
season
sure.
long, I really fear that all season long, we're going to hear people calling up and saying, I think Gronk's coming back. I think Gronk's coming
back. I would say that one of the problems, see, Gronk was forced to be a certain size based on the job requirements
for
the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, no, because he just had to be 265.
Yeah.
He had to be, you know, he had to be that big. If he's a flex, situational, tight end / H-back, you don't need to be 265.
That's true.
I'm not even kidding. So, and I compare him to, 100%. Is he more physical?
But you're going to have to change his role dramatically.
Which is fine.
Right.
He's still 6'6".
So he's not Dunsky?
No, he is Dunsky.
He's just a different – coming back as a different guy?
Do you know how hard it would
position?
Be? So, like, you're done. You're having the summer of Gronk all over again, the retirement tour. You're not doing anything. You're not lifting that heavy weight. You're doing a lot of rehab. You're doing a lot of pliability work. You're doing guns and stuff like that so you can look good in your tank top, you know, as you're walking around in the summertime. But being football strong is a totally different commitment. The exercises that you do, the you know, how long you have to be in the weight room, how much tougher it is to recover from your workouts. The workouts that he's doing, they're easy. They're easy. It's low-impact aerobic stuff where, you know, he just looks good in a bathing suit. His abs are popping out. His guns are showing. But now, listen, Gronk, in 7 weeks, can you get in shape? Like football shape? Start squatting. Start doing heavy bench. It's just not happening.
I'm not convinced either, man. You lose that much weight, you have that type of injury history, you are not just going to jump right back into the fray and put on all that football weight again. When you see how much weight Gronk has lost, you realize he's not lining up at tight end anymore. And when you take time away from football and your body changes, it's dangerous to just jump right back into it. And Gronk knows that. I'm with those guys. I don't believe Gronk is coming back. I think that is just fool's gold and hopeful, wishful thinking from Pats fans and probably a lot of media as well that want to get quotes from Gronk. That'll do it. The best in your sports talk for Wednesday, July the 10th. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.